Speak in this place in the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. Speak, O Lord, for your sheep are listening. Amen. Amen. For many of you that have attended the Sunday morning Bible studies here at St. Bart's, you have witnessed the Holy Spirit working and how mysteriously our studies and Father Ward's and Father Cummins and Father Mollison's sermons coincidentally have had the same theme many Sunday mornings. Well, I'm here today giving the sermon because of the Holy Spirit's work again. And here's the roadmap on how I stand here today. At the end of our spring session, Julie Van Lente approached me with the topic of the War Room Bible study. It's called Prayer is a Powerful Weapon. After that, I searched for a book that would help me complement the study, and I found and am reading Dr. Jeremiah's book, Prayer, the Great Adventure. This led to doing outlines for Monday prayers for revival meetings, and then last Sunday, Father Ward asked me if I would preach this Sunday, and lo and behold, you guessed it, today's gospel reading from Luke is where one of the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. You would think that there is a hint that maybe my prayer life is not all that it's cranked up to be, and that I need to be in prayer a little bit more every day. So then as Elaine and I, my wife, and I were watching an old episode of All in a Family on Monday night after our prayer revival meeting, in this episode, R.G. Bunker is trying to explain to his neighbor Lionel, who has temporarily moved in with him, about race, reconciliation, and of course, prayer. And it went something like this. Archie, you see in this movie there's this Jewish family who wants to overcome their color. And this family was a very strict kind of Jew, you know, the one they call Orthodox Jews. They're the kind that starts praying to God on Friday to get a two-day jump on the rest of us. Then Lyle asks this question, does it work? And Archie's answer is, no, no way. God don't listen to nothing till Sunday. Well, I'm here today to tell you that Archie was wrong and that the prayer is the most powerful and wonderful gift in God's great bag of blessings. It's a great adventure of the Christian faith, and he is listening all day and every day. Now, Father Ward and Father Mollison have both preached on prayer, and Father Ward even did a Friday night Bible study on prayer back in 2007. So I'm not here to teach anything new about praying, but I am going to try and refresh your thoughts and desires to focus a little more on our prayer life. I'm not well versed on prayer and have overcome and over the years have been mesmerized by how our clergy can pray at the spur of the moment. I also, like you and others, struggle with praying, going to prayer meetings, praying out loud in front of people, and praying one-on-one with people is difficult for me. I'm getting better, and over the years have learned to ask and let the Holy Spirit into my heart before praying. I also have learned that if someone asks for prayer, the best thing to do is stop all that you're doing and pray with them at that moment. Because more than likely, I will forget to put them on my prayer list or to forget to pray for them at all. In the book Kelly Tuff, Jim's daughter Erin, she talks about asking her uncle Ray to pray for her dad. Uncle Ray hesitates and stammers, and Jim tells Brother Ray, just say what's in your heart. Uncle Ray then offered a modest and unassuming prayer. It was to the point, nothing especially spiritual, nor was it delivered in Christianese. You see, nobody taught Uncle Ray the these and the thous and the thous and those. Uncle Ray was definitely not fluent in Christianese or anything Jesus, but he simply spoke from his heart. So where do we start if it's our goal to establish a legitimate communication with God? The bookstores are full of books that are aimed at leading one into a prayerful relationship with God. But how does one know what is valid and what isn't? We can find all too many sources that would endeavor to lead us into an intimate prayer life with God, but who can best describe to us the principles of proper prayer better than the master communicator himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God? He spent more time in successful, active communication with the Father than anyone else. If we will listen to him, the pathway to powerful prayer will be revealed to us. There must first be a desire to learn what you think you already know. I can relate to Lee Strobel when he said, "I treated prayer as if it were a spiritual smorgasbord. I took a little bit of the author's ideas, a bit of advice from the pastor's sermons, applied some miscellaneous biblical verses, and mixed it up with some counsel of well-meaning friends. The result, an imbalanced and half-baked prayer life that left him starving for something more satisfying." Now, if you're like me, thinking about praying is daunting because I don't feel like a good prayer. I'm sure you've experienced that from time to time, and you heard someone pray and you thought, "Wow, I don't pray like that. They really know how to pray." Well, I think the disciples were in the same boat. The first verse of our passage this morning seems to indicate that the disciples would have been very familiar with prayer. They would have grown up in a culture where prayer was practiced regularly, so their request, "Teach us to pray," wouldn't have been a request to teach us something we've never seen before, but more like, "You pray differently than us, and we want to know how to pray like that." Jesus' gracious response is what we often call the Lord's Prayer, probably the most well-known and most quoted passage in the Bible. Yet probably because it's so familiar, we often take it for granted, failing to mind it for all it's worth. But it should be instructive to us that the Lord's Prayer is recorded twice in the Gospel. The version that everyone is familiar with is the one in Matthew, and we are looking at Luke's version today. Not everything Jesus did and taught is recorded twice, so this is significant that the Lord's Prayer is in twice. And what's more, everything Jesus did here in Luke's Gospel is a direct response to the disciples' request, "Teach us to pray." Therefore, I would suggest that if you are in that boat, you're wondering how to pray. You feel like you're not good at it, you don't know what it is, then pay close attention, for in these verses, Jesus lays out what true prayer is. We live in a very complex world, and we many times make it more complex than it needs to be. But that is one of the most wonderful things about prayer. In the midst of a busy, complicated, painful world, prayer is a haven for us all. It is a safe place where we commune with our Heavenly Father. There are no expectations, there's no condemnation, just communication with the one who loves us more than we can imagine. Most of us learn to pray out of desperation. For most of us, this is how the adventure begins. When we finally get serious about praying, the trigger is usually desperation, not duty. At least initially, serious prayer is almost driven by necessity. We don't pray because we ought, we pray because we are without any other recourse. I think God likes to see his people coming to him in desperation and casting themselves upon his mercy. Prayer is the essential activity of waiting for God. Acknowledging our helplessness and his power, calling upon him for help and seeking his counsel. There are two types of prayer, personal and intercessory, and it is amazing how many coincidences occur when one begins to pray. We must remember that prayer is not a natural activity. It has been well said that prayer is stupid when viewed in the purely human realm. So if you're struggling with the concept of prayer, either in understanding it or feeling discouraged about where your prayer life is, then pray right now. "Lord, teach me to pray." Then hear what the Lord has to teach us from his word. When you pray, first of all, pray to God. Most of us can't imagine what it would have been like to walk and talk with Jesus physically as he made his way across Galilee. If we could have been there, we would have seen him touch the sick. We would have been amazed as he walked across the waves of the stormy sea. We surely would have been inspired as we heard him teach, and then be mesmerized as he explained the meanings of his teaching to the smaller group. Imagine what it would have been like to ask him whatever question came to mind. When the disciples saw Jesus perform miracles and teach, they didn't clamor, "Lord, teach us to teach like you," or "Lord, teach us to do that miracle." Instead, what captured their attention was hearing him pray. He was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." They wanted to know how to talk to God in prayer. Notice what Jesus gave them when they asked the question. The following from Jeff Nixon on Lifeway articles gives us a clear and simple view of a plan for prayer. So take out your papers and pencils. You can jot down some notes. No paper and pencils? No? Next week, bring them, okay, for the sermon. So the first bullet point, a plan for prayer. In the first four verses, we discover a plan that will help us pray in a way that is pleasing to the Father and keep us on track. In many ways, this is a simple plan for prayer. A, praise, verse 2. Whenever you pray, say, "Father, your name be honored as holy." Praise is an important part of our prayer. We must always remember to honor our Heavenly Father. We are creations of the Creator, and it is a natural thing for us to worship Him. B, purpose, also in verse 2. Your kingdom come. It's easy to forget we have a responsibility to fulfill God's purpose in this world. We are a people on mission, and we should be mindful and sensitive about the work of His kingdom. Each day we are to be busy doing His kingdom's business. See, physical needs, verse 3. One of the promises that should give us hope for each day is that God does indeed supply our needs. When we pray, it is part of the instruction of Jesus that we ask the Father for things that we need to make it through each day. Since it is part of His plan for us as we pray, then we should never hesitate to ask. D, spiritual needs, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. There's not a day that goes by that we should not be mindful of the forgiveness, grace, and compassion of God. It is a healthy reminder for a congregation to think of themselves as participants in a weekly meeting of Sinners Anonymous. The sin has been forgiven, and we are set free. But God provides our spiritual needs, and we should not neglect asking for help. E, protection. And do not bring us into temptation. It makes sense that the same loving, compassionate, and kind Savior that went to such great lengths to have a relationship with us would also take the time to protect us. His plans and desires for us are so much better than anything we might plan ourselves. The problem we have is that sometimes we don't make wise choices. He desires to help us with these. Second, the parable for prayer. Because He is His friend, yet because of His persistence, He will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus takes the time to explain the importance of persistence using a parable. Like the man in the parable, we need to be faithful to keep asking. We must always remember that the Father wants to hear from you. He is always willing to listen. You don't annoy Him when you come with a heart that desires His best for you. Third, a promise for prayer, verses 10 through 13. Jesus concludes this lesson on prayer by sharing with His disciples the principle of asking and receiving. If you keep looking, you will find an answer. If you keep knocking, the door will be open. Jesus shares some of the most refreshing and reassuring news that we could ever hear. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We are promised that God hears and responds to our prayer. And that is great news for His children. Don't allow yourself to become weary as you pray for things. This reminder from Jesus on how to pray should encourage us. When it seems like the answers are slow to come, remember this passage. Jesus knew we would feel that way, and He tells us to keep on praying. We find security in the fact that God hears and will respond to our prayers. If you were to describe your prayer life, Would you use the word persistent and perseverance? This intimate moment between Jesus and his disciples should inspire us to have a stick-to-it attitude about prayer. Have you ever noticed how children ask? Boy, do they ask freely and often. He wants us to come to him and ask like little children. So a little girl came to her mother and said, "I suppose up in heaven they think I'm dead." The mother replied, "Why, Mary, why do you suppose they think you're dead?" "Well," said the little girl, "because I haven't said my prayers in over a week." Dr. David Jeremiah in his book notes that if you notice what happens if you take three imperatives in verse 10 through 13, ask, seek, and knock, and if you put them underneath each other, you get the word ASK, ask, seek, and knock. Jesus wants us to come to him and ask. God wants a personal connection with us. Maybe we need to go back and seek the one of whom we are making our request to and get closer to him. After we ask and after we seek, Jesus tells us to knock. These are all commands. Bill Hybel has a little formula in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray. He writes, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. And if the request is right and the timing is right, God says go. One caution here. We don't want to give the impression that prayer is some sort of carte blanche thing. If you're living like the devil, don't suppose that you can go out to God and ask and he will become your heavenly bellhop and give you whatever you want. That's not going to happen. But even when we ask amiss, prayers often bring God's will into sharp focus. So let me ask you a question. Have you asked God for it? Have you really asked him? God says he's going to answer your prayers. So if his good book is true and he longs to give you the good things, then why don't you ask? Don't ever stop asking, don't ever stop seeking, and don't ever stop knocking. Just keep at it. Keep bringing your prayers to God. If you think your request is legitimate, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. God wants to teach us through persistent prayer to wait on him and to watch. While we're praying and waiting for God to answer our prayers, do you know what he is doing? He's working on us, conforming us more and more to the image of Christ. And when we are ready, the answer will surely come. God wants to meet your deepest needs. He wants you to see, know, taste, and experience him in ways that shake you to the core. He longs for you far more than we long for him. He stands ready to reveal himself, enfold you in love, speak to you with power, and touch you with grace. He has waited for you for this moment. Are you ready? Now, I'm going to take a minute off of what I wrote. I'm just going to speak to the men. So, ladies, if you want to go out and grab a coffee, I just want to speak to the men of the congregation. Men, as I learned from my experiences coming up through St. Bart's, that we need to be the prayer warriors of our families. And this goes for all men, young, old, married, divorced, single, all ages. We need to take hold and realize that Satan is after our families. He's there to destroy us, to get in between us, our husband and wives, and we need to be those prayer warriors and take the lead as our family. Even if it's your extended family, our grandchildren, he's after all of us. We need to step up as prayer warriors of our families, and we need to step up, get down on our knees, and fight like a man, okay? So no matter how carefully I've crafted this sermon, I'm not able to address all of our questions about the hows and whys of prayer. But I pray that I was able to invite you into a deeper, more honest, and more trusting relationship with the God who desires to know you chiefly as a loving parent, provider of all that is good, and protector of all in need. While this may not give us everything we want, it at least gives us what we most need. Give us this day our daily bread indeed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this moment, we ask that these words may come with fresh and vital meanings to our heart. that we may see that there is a vast and great experience of your blessing and power lying before us, waiting for us to step out upon the basis of these words alone, that there are things we need to ask for and take immediately from your hand, others that we need to seek for, still others for which we need to knock and wait and knock again, knowing that in every case, without exception, your word is sure, your answer is true, it shall be given, we shall find, it shall be open. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.